I'm ready.
You ready? Okay, today is January 25th. The time is 8:38. We are, let's go around the room and introduce ourselves.
Charisse Bills, Clerk Auditor's Office.
Heidi Vordekers, Clerk Auditor's Office.
Curtis Cope, Clerk Auditor.
Lorene Kamalu, Commissioner.
Randy Elliott, Commissioner. Just remember, we're on 61 South Main, Farmington, Utah, room 306.
Thank you.
Lane Road Facilities.
Chris Bone, Human Resources.
Neil Geddes, Attorney's Office.
Ryan Hatch, Health Department.
Josh Johnson, Labor.
Jeff Monroe, Emergency Management.
And we'll excuse Commissioner Stevenson as he is up at the Capitol on a request for appropriations. And so now we'll go into a review and discuss status in state and local fiscal recovery funds, Lufferuff, and Emergency Operation Needs EOC. Curtis Koch.
Sounds good. Well, thanks for taking some time to start off. Beginning in January, first week of January, the U.S. Treasury released the new guidance on, well, not new guidance, it's the final rule on state and local fiscal recovery funds, affectionately known as Lufferuff. And so at that point, that time, wanted to bring the group back together. We started back in September, hired a consultant to help us with this process, and wanted to update the group on where we're at with our recommendations, as we've gotten some feedback from our consultants. I want to give the commission a heads up on what we're seeing and some of the hiccups and some of the changes that come from the final rule. So with that, just a quick review. This was what we put forward in our annual recovery plan dated August 31st under the interim final rule. We would be spending over $30 million in public health related items, $30 million on administrative, and we'd have about $9 million still that we could potentially spend. So I just want to take you through what each of those items were. This is what the original recovery plan projected, but I want to go through each of these and just give you a status update of them. So health department vaccine and testing clinic expansion, we had budgeted $1 million. What we came across is that Lane and facilities, in conjunction with obviously the health department, they've worked to remodel the health department space and get a vaccine clinic in place. It's 98% done. We're just waiting for some FF&E, and we anticipate that it will be operational in February of this year. Originally, we had anticipated being able to expand parking. What we've come across is that with our plan, with any federal funds, and this is what you'll see throughout this presentation, federal funds have significant strings. If we were to use, because currently we have two properties that we were looking at purchasing, one of those is occupied right now. And even though they're on a month to month and they know that the property is selling because the owner passed away and the family just wants to be done with it, federal guidelines would require an extensive investment in taking care of those people that are in the house. We would need to find them a new place to live. It would have to be comparable in space and quality. If there was a higher rent due, we would have to pay that for, I think, up to 2 years. We would basically have to take on some ownership there. What we've opted to do is say, you know what, we're not gonna go down that road. And we would recommend that we use fund balance from the health department, non-federal dollars, to go and purchase those homes and make that capital improvement in the parking lot. So what we would, right now, we've spent $141,000. There's still some bills to roll in, so we're going to project at $300,000. So the original projected cost of $1 million, take that down to $300,000, and the clinic will be up and running, and we anticipate that will be fully funded with Lufferuff. Next up, we had ongoing response of $2 million.
available for the health department. Earlier this month, in fact last week, in the budget meeting, we approved a budget change to move that money. You'll see, and they are going to use that for COVID response, primarily personnel related. Is that a fair assessment, Brian?
Correct.
Okay. We haven't spent anything yet. We had projected $2 million. We took the $700,000 that we were going to put into that other project and rolled it over. So we're recommending $2.7 million. And any savings on that clinic, I think we would just roll over. So we had projected $300,000. If it comes in at $200,000 or $250,000, you know, we roll that difference and make sure that this is going into COVID response. Next up, we had our drive-through vaccination clinic. The cost from March 3rd through August 31st. I didn't update this slide. This actually should be $405,000. It actually came in at $403,016 or something to that effect. $516. And so it will come in under budget. We had a discrepancy in some paving, and that's what's showing the difference, but it'll come in under budget. So that payment has been made to Legacy Event Center, and at this point I don't anticipate any other reimbursement for the Legacy Event Center. I haven't heard of any discussions of that, so we'll plan on just moving forward. That would be the full reimbursement. Next up, Emergency Operations Building and 911 Dispatch Center. During the budget process, we put this on hold because we had some significant uncertainty with personnel costs and inflationary pressures that are on the county budget. At this point, I'm actually going to jump forward to this one, and then we're going to go back to the EOC so you'll understand what we're talking about. General Medical Wing, $7.9 million is what we had budgeted, and under SLUFR of code 1.7, we said that was going to be a capital investment of physical plant changes to public facilities to respond to the COVID-19 public health emergency. Unfortunately, in the final rule, U.S. Treasury clarifies that this is an ineligible capital project because they do not want construction of new congregate facilities to decrease the spread of COVID-19 in a facility. It almost felt personal, I'll be honest with you, because we reached out and said, this is what we're doing. They sent back a generic response saying, we don't approve individual projects, and then this comes in. We did pay off the jail medical bond. So because the interim final rule said you couldn't have anything associated with debt service. So what we're recommending is that, I'll escape out of this, we're gonna jump over to this right now. This is our general fund. We're recommending that we use fund balance from our general fund to pay off the jail medical wing. As you can see, and I'm targeting down here, taking $7.9 million from what was recouped from CARES wages, you're still gonna have a $13.2 million fund balance in your capital reserve after this year with several significant projects going on. So feel like we're still going to be in a reasonable position, and we'll have to manage that. So we would recommend hopping back to this presentation. Paying off the $7.9 million. To date, we've spent $4.1 million. We'll have to make the appropriate budget entries and shift everything. But the other challenge that we're coming up against, and you will talk a little bit more about this, and Heidi, feel free to jump in at any point. As we work with our consultant, these dollars are difficult dollars to access. 2 CFR 200 is difficult. They sent us a checklist over the weekend of
30 to 40 items that you've got to be in compliance with to spend these dollars. And these aren't like, you know, make sure your shoes are shined. These are make sure that every vendor on a capital project is registered with SAM.gov and that they are an eligible vendor. Because if you don't and you pay them, then you potentially could have to pay back.
And not just your vendor's vendors, they're subcontractors as well.
Really?
Right. So the vendors themselves, the construction companies, have to agree to be compliant as well. And there's monitoring of their compliance with it.
So the contracts that we start issuing on these projects are going to have to be even more cumbersome, more labor intensive, and to Heidi's point, monitoring. We will have to monitor. That's not going to be a light lift either, to make sure that we have compliance. And so there is a lot coming down the road with, as we spend these dollars. There is going to be a significant administrative burden placed on the county, in particular the auditor's office, to make sure that we don't have to start paying back. That was part of the reasoning for, we're getting mixed guidance, guys. NACO says live by the spirit of the law. The Treasury says thou shalt not.
Go with thou shalt not.
Yeah, well, and then we get into the nitty gritty, and that's part of the reason we're recommending walk away from this project in Slough. We've got 3/4 of the project done. Trying to go back and fix everything, it's going to be an administrative nightmare and maybe even impossible. And then at that point, then we pay back anyway. Okay. So, little frustrating, but there's $7.9 million that we're going to need to cover with capital reserves if the commission's agreeable. Otherwise, we'll look for other options, but I'm not sure what other options exist at this point. So back to
one option.
Okay. Back to the emergency operations bill.
Vegas.
It's for all of
us. Yeah. back to our emergency operations building. We recommended to put this on hold back in September, October. At this point, with well, I can read you also in the final rule. It was specifically called out that emergency operation centers are permissible. So you can't have new congregate living facilities built because their reasoning was there's no way you'll get them built in time. Well, we'll be done in a few months, but they kicked it out. They're okay with EOCs though, and they say you can do new construction of EOCs. Okay, you know, it is what it is, and we appreciate.
So throw that back in now again.
We would make the recommendation that we start moving forward on the EOC with a $12 million budget, and that be the target for where we're going.
Okay.
That's fantastic.
That is good.
We'll need to make some budget changes after all this presentation, so please buckle up still. Medical wing covered that. Public health increased legal counsel for justice service backlog.
Chad's got a question. He's over there.
Real quick, is the EOC then the $12 million, are we moving forward with the dispatch / EOC? Is that how we're looking at that money so we know how we're doing our RFPs?
Right, yes, that would be my anticipation, but let's get through the whole presentation and I'll look to the commission for guidance on what they want to do.
Just make sure his office is teeny. Just kidding.
So, with increased legal counsel services for the justice system backlog, we'd budgeted just over $500,000. To date, so last year's cost came in at about $200,000. Original projected is $4.8. We would recommend staying with $4.8 and monitoring that in the next year. This might be a place that you can come back and get a $500,000, $1 million, just depending on how the expenses roll out. But
Additional staff have been hired in all three areas, and that's moving forward, and we're working with our consultant to get the appropriate tracking to make sure that every I is dotted and every T is crossed. Subrecipients. We have not moved forward on any subrecipients. Trying to get this program up and running and the applications just in-house has been significant. But we do need to have some update or give you an update on, excuse me, where we're at with several of these projects. Some of the projects that you've heard about, our consultants have come back and said are probably high risk and they would not recommend that we engage in them. Mm-hmm. Cutting edge technology is not something you want to gamble on with federal funds. R&D is probably not an area we want to be in. And one of the projects recommended on the South Davis Sewer District, there's one other operation within the United States that actually is up and running. They would be like the second. They're recommending you may want to pull your jets. They're not saying you can't do it, but for them to come back and make those comments after going meeting, they went and met with all of the projects that we've talked about. Very complimentary of several of the projects. The Northwest Quadrant Sewer, what they're recommending with that project is, because we had earmarked $25 million, they do not believe the $25 million that you can actually spend that and build it within the time frame, the constraints. So what they've recommended is that you stage the project. You say this is stage one and this is, you know, $7.5 million. Stage two, here's another $7.5 million. Stage three, if you can actually get to stage three in that time, then they come back and they request funds at that point. And if we have them, then maybe you can do it and maybe it all fits in the time frame. But this is not a small project. But this is, if you stage it, that's the other gamble, is if you don't stage it and you say we're going for it all, and then you get to the end and you've only spent 15 of the 25 and you didn't complete the project, does the federal government come back and say, no, you didn't do it, you got to pay back?
So it's better to say that we've completed the stages.
Right, better to have stage one done, completed, and then let developers bear that cost if that's all that we can do. Right. We've done what we can to move...
by deadlines.
Well, yeah, and to move the project forward and to get the best benefit for the county through affordable housing or housing, additional housing, those types of things. So we would recommend allocating about $15 million right now out of these funds, making sure that those are set aside and recognizing that we may not even spend those.
Okay.
Now, I did talk with Kyle Law yesterday. I wanted to make sure we were on the same page. Naturally, they would prefer to still have the $25 million allocated. As we talked, I said, yes, but if we get to year 2024 and we can't spend it, then we're just sending that money back. So I'd much rather move the project forward and potentially move other projects forward if those are viable projects. And if we have some money fall back into the pot and we can do more and there's time, then let's do that. Once again, I think the preference would certainly be to take the $25 million and have it locked up for sure. I don't think that's a good idea for the county as a whole at this point.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The extended past 2024, how does that work? If we're going to stage something, do they have to start, let's say, stage three before the end of 2024, and then they're eligible past that?
Funds have to be allocated, and everything has to be completed by December 31st of 2026.
Right.
So as long as you've allocated by the December, all allocations have to be in place, all programming has to be in place, and then you have basically a two-year cleanup.
I would imagine you'd want to have your contracts in place, your RFPs done, have the money obligated in every way possible, because we can only do the budgetary obligation for the first year, right? So that you're showing that you're obligating that project for that next 2 year period.
Yeah, and you don't want to be finishing that project on December 1st, right? That's a really bad idea to try and finish that project on December 1st. You want to be finishing up like June, July of 2021 or 2026. Otherwise, you risk repayment.
So when the consultant said that they don't think they'd be able to do that, was that taking in the extra 2 years there?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Fully anticipating that.
What if the contractor that gets us, like, we're going to do it all, just move forward? And we'll just give them all that $25 million then?
Wouldn't recommend that once again, because once again, to get your scope that big, mm-hmm. you're going to be delaying the whole project. If you chunk it up, now you can have design works for the lift station, for the main trunk line, for this, and you can build it out.
Got it.
If you're trying to get the whole picture painted and then move forward, you're risking not having enough time on the end.
Your risk analysis is you've got a lot more exposure. Okay. Because you have, there's a risk analysis component, there's an outcomes component, results that have to be proven for the spending of this money every step of the way. So the idea is do take the project into small pieces, complete, then award additional.
Okay.
So if they can move fast, that would be great.
Right. And if they can move fast, then great. Then we can potentially have other applications come down and move forward.
Okay.
That's one more question. So hearing what you said in stages, but does that mean there's still 25 for the project? They just need to get working it. They move it quicker through the stages.
Well, let's get to the end and I'll show you what we would recommend.
Okay.
But this is also, yeah.
Okay.
Other items, the school district vulnerable homeless youth improvement, we've heard from them. Once again, we don't have an application yet, but they have purchased a home that they want renovation funds for. It's a good project, it would qualify. We would just need to, I just want to keep you aware. They've got 30 days to back out of this home. If they don't have the money to renovate it, they don't want the home. So if there's still support there, then I can report that back to them. Of course, nothing is done until the contract is signed, the application is completed, and they've agreed to all the CFR 200 obligations. The other one is $2 million for domestic violence, COVID remediation, another good project, capital investment. And once again, they're waiting. So
they're okay with that?
With 2 million?
No, I mean, they're okay with the domestic violence, COVID remediation?
Yes, yep. Okay.
So they like social programs more than they like anything else?
Slough Rough is heavy to social programs. It's geared heavily to social programs. We're trying to walk that line to make sure that we're getting the longest value and benefit.
Okay.
Right.
And that's with, did you say?
It is our Safe Harbor.
Yeah, okay, that's what I said.
So what that does is by trimming that back, there are still some sewer programs. I think this still has about $16.5 million for sewer programs. And projects that we would recommend, but you can see we're pulling back $11.5 million off of what's already been budgeted. Finally, we had budgeted $500,000 for Slough Rough reporting and consulting administration. After what we're seeing, you're looking at needing to potentially have bulk up, and so we would recommend taking that from the $500,000 to $1.5 million, setting that aside and having that. If we don't spend that, then once again, that's something that 2024 we could be looking to push back, but there is significant reporting requirements.
And they will help with the reporting requirements as well.
Correct.
That's good.
And this would be consultant time as well as staff time. They're not hiring any new staff anticipated. This.
Oh, it'd be a consultant.
Curtis, so internal, these additional requirements, are those built into our projects, the additional work to track and mock and all that stuff, or is it built in here? Does that question make sense?
Will you be reimbursed health department for overhead costs?
Yeah, so if we have to do all these additional things for monitoring.
The hope is that the auditing office will provide a lot of that administrative support and be the subject matter experts and walk you through that. So it's just a matter of submit this, submit that. We'll be doing the tracking, the project accounting on it for the most part. So hopefully that's streamlined, but if the burden does become too much in either office, we'll have to revisit it.
I mean, once again, the subrecipient monitoring and even the monitoring within the county is disconcerting.
Reporting goes through 2027, so after the funds expire, and then monitoring, I think, can go through 2029 or 2030.
Wow. Yeah. So when they come, you'll want to have your files in order.
And we'll help with that.
So moving forward, this is what we're looking at as far as recommendation. And you'll notice there's some yellows, which are changes, significant changes. So we've gone through this, we've gone through all of these, medical wing, justice system. In the budget for 2022, it was approved the renovation of the visiting area. We would recommend that we work through Slough Rough to make that happen. That renovation will focus on ankle monitoring, which is directly tied to COVID, because our work center went away. It's also video cord arraignment. We need some places for that. And so we would recommend taking just over half a million dollars, and putting that through the application process, complying with all of the guidelines, but that gets us $500,000, and that gets your capital improvement plan moving, and leaves $500,000 for future use. Water conservation projects. This was something that was brought to my attention recently, and I don't know if anybody has had discussion, but I've been asked to put in.
Is it allowed?
$500,000. Yes. Right. So once again, 5.8 clean water conservation is allowed. We would be looking to partner with groups to bring greater water conservation into Davis County and hopefully put water back into the Great Salt Lake.
So this is different from our county's non-functional turf presentation. This is different.
Yeah, this was brought to me by Commissioner Stevenson. I believe he mentioned it to in a meeting at the legislature this morning. So it's in here. And I was hoping he would be here to explain what he wants to do with it, but there's a recommendation there for $5 million for water conservation.
Well, I would hope that what we have as a solid plan already worked out over the past year with the Utah State Extension, with some really solid ways that we can continue to conserve, would be considered.
Yeah.
So we'll see. That would be great.
Under general government operations, the final rule had a significant shift. In the interim final rule, there was lost revenue recovery, which you could take your revenues, put them into a formula, and calculate an amount that you could use towards general government operations. In the interim final rule, in the final rule, they changed that. You can still do the calculation, or you can just say we're taking $10 million of the monies we've received. This is a huge game changer and might change how your municipalities interact on this. They basically can take all of their and put it to general government, I believe. What we heard this morning on the phone call with the governor's office was that, and the governor's office wasn't saying this, this was from another representative on the call, but they were hearing that this could be also a game changer at the state level, because now the state can take a significant amount of revenue for general government operations. So where we had heard maybe another $100 million would come out in matching, now there's rumblings that, well, we can use that for general government operations. Why would we match it up? Whether that's true or not, don't know. That's the rumblings. So the virtue is we can now claim $10 million and push it towards general government. It just needs to be expended. I would look at personnel costs, rising personnel costs due to inflationary pressures, and
That's where I would anticipate those monies would come.
That would all have to be incurred by the 24.
I think that's a good question as far as 2024 or 2026.
Right.
Okay. we're not sure because you've got to allocate it, but if you don't have a budget in place for 2025 and 2026, how can you say that?
And you can't grow fund balance.
And you cannot grow fund balance. So, but once again, I mean, we could, in general government operations, I think we could take all of that in 1 year in personnel.
One last thing that changed with the final rule was they also allowed, in the interim final rule, they allowed for the hiring back of staff that might have been displaced during COVID, so people that had been furloughed. They've actually allowed capacity back up to 7.5% of your pre-COVID. So I would also expect other local governments, rather than participating, might be looking at growing their services by using that 7.5% and putting it into new positions, wages.
Yeah, so bit of a game changer.
So that's on top of just the revenue for general government. I mean, you can hire back now additional staff and pay for them with SLRF. At least through 2024.
So countywide,
general, doesn't matter what?
General government operations. Once again, they dropped 430 pages of guidance, so we're still trying to get through all of that. Just to make sure that our I's are dotted and our T's are crossed. Countywide sewer projects, once again, we're recommending taking that 16.5. We had a 28. Consultants for SLRF 1.5, and administration 1.5, and school district homeless vulnerability. Those are the ones we talked about. Bob, do you want to talk about this one? Commissioner Stevenson, who reported, just entered the room.
Thank you.
Do you want to talk about water conservation projects and what's being envisioned here?
Yeah, we've talked a little bit about the fact that, you know, going back to a couple of weeks ago when there was the Great Salt Lake Summit that was put on talking about the problems that we are having with Great Salt Lake, it's actually at its lowest level right now. And again, hopefully the drought doesn't continue to the extent it has and we try to get water back in it. Actually, I've been down to the Capitol where we made a presentation dealing with the learning center at the out on the island, as far as we're asking for appropriation of about $13.5 million to build that. We actually told them that we would put $5 million into a fund as far as trying to either go towards water metering with secondary agricultural type things that can try to help, but drip irrigation things that can be there to try to basically allow more water to be able to run back down into the Great Salt Lake. We all have to realize that I think it was back in like the 1890s was the last time the lake was at this level, so it has been this low before. It isn't something that hasn't happened. But one of the differences is between the 1890s and the 2020s is that there's a whole lot of us that are using water as far as it goes. And so there's a whole lot of water conservation that needs to happen, and it is happening right now, which I think has to change a lot of people's thoughts. This is dollars that we can use to turn around and try to put out there to make some of this start to happen.
Lane, what was the amount in the presentation that you gave? Because I think that's when Commissioner Stevenson was away, that we was projected for what we could do, that we could easily
for our facilities project.
Yeah.
I think it was like 600,000.
600, yeah, I mean, it's just a little piece of that, but it could make a very big difference with county properties.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that can take place there.
Yeah, the group met that day was very much in favor of all of those proposals, just where would the money come from? That's my recollection of that meeting.
So just several of those were libraries. I don't know how that works funding-wise.
We'd work through that. It'd come out of Fund 80, SLRF.
And you're right, good point. Several were the libraries. Seven of the properties. Yeah.
Okay. So, this is what we're looking at. If you go with this, then this is what you've got. $22.2 million in public health Category 1 justifications through SLRF. Infrastructure, $5 million. Revenue replacement, 10 million. Administrative, so this is where your homeless, student homeless shelter, domestic violence, and sewer projects come out of. And the reason it's administrative is because we're distributing to another governmental entity.
Okay. So there's 12 million left over that we could go back to sewer.
Right, so we're holding 12.2, almost 12.3, and that's why I would say, I understand your discomfort.
Yes.
But you're going to need to be, we want to be as nimble as possible as we get towards 2024, which is, you know, 2 years out.
Right.
If you have this set aside and it looks like your sewer projects are moving forward, well, great, then go, right? Reallocate that. If you have some other great projects come forward, you have some flexibility in the next really year, because I think if you don't hear it in a year, you're not getting it done. But say your sewer isn't working, meaning it's just not going as fast. It's gonna work, but it's not going as quickly. Okay, well, you still got 12.9. Well, what you can do there is, in this year's budget, we did $265,000 budgeted for design work of potential flood projects. Okay? Doesn't look like sewer. We didn't have any other great projects come forward. Then what you want to do is you want to pivot and you want to take that design work and put it in the ground. If not, you just hold off. You still have the design work, which is still of value to the county, and you can use that in the future because those projects will come online at some point. But this gives you flexibility and allows you to be nimble enough to respond to the market.
Well, you know, Curtis, I think the other thing too that we have to be realistic about is we all know that they've given us the final rule, but I'm not sure if it's the final rules as far as that goes. So,
yeah, I think they've put themselves in a position that they have to go final, and the reason is one, they've been very specific. You know, interim final was 130 pages. Now they're 430 pages. They've called out very specific things, and to try and tweak it at this point. Now, that's not to say that they can't.
Another personality.
Right, but this gives you, this maximizes your flexibility and gives you the opportunity to maximize the funds. I can't emphasize enough the work that it's going to take with coming into compliance with all of the federal regulations.
That's why we hire consultants.
Well, yes. They will keep us on track, but the work will have to be done and sub-recipient monitoring. They're not going to be doing any of that.
Okay.
Right. Just one other quick. So I get a lot of phone calls from people inquiring about this. Does this lock up the 69 and no more new applications only once here?
Commissioners, what do you want to do with that? Do you want to keep hearing new ideas, or, I mean, we've got Central Davis Sewer that I'm hearing has interest.
If we still...
For now, it seems like it's locked.
Yeah, for now it seems like it's...
Well.
If it's programmed...
I guess my question is if it is programmed, but what if it doesn't? Hypothetically, I don't use the 2.7 that's allocated for public health. It goes back in. Do we want to have
project stack?
Oh, I think we just
it might be good to have the applications.
I think that you've got it. Yeah. So because this has changed in the past 3 months.
Yeah.
So I think that for people to say, I don't think it hurts for us to say to them, look, we pretty well got this allocated, but there may be adjustments. So please get us your plan or your project or whatever. And so we have it. So if something does do it, we're not scrambling trying to find something. We know there's a list of things that we can be using. So
it seems like it's smart to say we are programmed, but we've already seen that sometimes things come in under budget, and sometimes there are
a few times
changes. Well,
not really anymore.
Well, he just showed us several that already have.
I mean,
You
know, I would point out there's a public outreach component that our consultants are tasked with and under contract to complete for us. They're still working on that piece of all of this and getting us compliant with that. So I would expect that as that public outreach happens, that more projects will be proposed.
Yeah.
And so that we have some venue for that. Like I said, we've only opened up the internal portion to get our internal projects because many of these were funded, given budgetary authority back in 2021. And getting those compliant and up and running so that then we can open to outside interests.
So I think continue, as projects come forward, take the applications, but be really upfront with people. Let's not lead them wrong. Say, look, this is how it's been allocated. This is what we're anticipating. Yeah, as we creep closer to 2024, you may want to have some, you know, projects that are a couple $1 million here and there that you can plug in and go. And to have those in the back pocket and to get the value out of those for the county would be really important. That is your SLUFRF update.
I love those slides. Those are fantastic.
Happy to send them.
Any other questions on this? Okay. We'll move on now to the...
Thank you.
Yep, thanks, Curtis. Move on to the Administrative Billing Wellness Location Room presented by Lane Rhodes and Chris Bowen.
Thank you, Commission. We just wanted to think together with commissioners and others here. We have, in our newer facilities, included wellness rooms that include the capacity to have it be a lactation room. That's part of the Utah code to have lactation rooms and buildings for new mothers, essentially. And Lane has done a really nice job of calling them wellness rooms because they could actually be used for, say, a diabetic that needed to test their blood sugar or administer a shot of insulin or whatever they would do there. In this building, we've been creative. In the past, my understanding is we've identified an office within an area and just said it's lockable, close the door, close the shades. It can't be a bathroom, that's part of the code. So we got talking with Lane and Tim, along with Jill Tu, who's our EEO, ADA, HR generalist with that specialty. You can buy lactation pods, commercially available pods. Some are square, some are round. Lane's got pictures.
You can show that outside for something like that too. I mean,
we were originally thinking maybe at the end of the hallway.
You'd stick it in the hallway. Potentially.
Pretty interesting.
I've seen those in airports.
Airports. University of Utah had a few of those around.
Put it in the corner of the
Salt Lake Community College.
People can
some of those. They're kind of pricey.
We don't have any space.
Well, second floor is less busy, I will say.
That's where we were thinking about putting it. And when I got these dimensions at the end of the hallway, it's still.
We don't have a room somewhere we can make.
Well, that's what we want to talk about.
Because this is kind of. I'm sorry.
They're not the best looking things in the world, right?
Yeah.
No.
We look around.
Stay the course. Just listen to the man.
We looked around the building.
There isn't a lot of good space.
Not a lot of good spaces. But we did find in the fitness room, there's a corner that we could just basically build out. There and make it a separate lockable room, well lit, a comfortable chair and a shelf for a table.
Make it soundproof too.
Make it soundproof with the insulation, stagger the studs that you're talking about.
Actually, inside of that fitness room area?
Is that room in there?
In the southwest corner.
Okay.
There's not much going on.
Chris, is there a requirement for public access to that?
I don't think so. It's more for our own.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if we were like a potentially if we were a bigger venue where the public would come for extended periods of time, then we may have
some of the programs do. Our WIC requires that the federal funding require us to have one for the public.
Yeah, certainly given the nature of WIC visitors and so forth. Yeah. Not that we couldn't have a public member use it, just gain access to it and use it. We think we can build it out somewhere up to $5,000.
Oh, a lot less.
A lot less than these costs. And we have some funding sitting in an account that was from an old health assessment years ago.
We do, after doing the premium holiday that was given in to employees back in January of 2021 was about $75,000. That brought the balance of sitting in that wellness holding to about $120,000 still to put towards.
So we're thinking that that would be a good source to replace Wayne's department's expenditure to build that out. We may have a good window of time with Tim's time between projects where he can work on that. I say really quick, but that's all relative, I know. But that would help us for the longer term, not, you know, sort of stop just assigning an office for the privacy needed to do lactation or other.
It meets a long-term need that we'll continue to have when things come right. Mm-hmm.
So if this group's okay with us using that corner.
Yeah, I kind of want to go look at the corner.
Oh, sure, of course, yeah. Yeah, that room's open.
But I agree with the need, and I much rather do something that's better than.
Yeah, I look really closely at all the different areas next to the bathroom or stove. It's just all this space in here has been allocated. It's either a department, there's not many departments that want to give up any more square footage.
Yeah.
So it was a struggle when we came up with this idea. It's already an employee area, workout room. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe it's not the best, but it's a location and all.
Josh, do you have these in your libraries?
We started
the new ones. We do. We don't have one here. We benefit from this as well. We actually talked a little bit about some of the library space that might work, or some of the space that might be in the libraries, depending. But this sounds like a workable solution. Had a quick question. Did they have a separate entrance, or does everybody get access to the gym if we do
access to the gym?
You just come through the gym area.
The new building has it in it, right?
It was 2015 when they came out with this new code, and so we implemented it.
So our clerk so it is just for staff at this time. You just save your money. If you have public mingling with staff areas, it becomes an issue.
We talked about that tonight.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that way the public is.
Yeah, that's great. I'm glad to learn a little more about it. And I. Happy to go down. The exercise room is being used again, right?
It's back in. A little bit of utilization. Yes.
We have a
couple of, like, the two recumbent bikes were in the front. We have to move over maybe a foot or two.
That was kind of my question. Do we have to move anything? And does it become like just a square notch out of the room?
Sort of. Yeah, so if you're looking towards the front, there's that TV on the wall. It'd be to the right. You know, you're looking now, looking south. There's a TV screen, kind of a small TV screen on the wall.
Isn't that the wall where the entrance is?
Yes.
Okay, so you're saying looking at that TV screen is to the right front, right back. Right.
So if you walk in,
I remember the previous time of bikes.
Straight over to your left.
All right. So it sounds like it's a move forward. We'll look at it, but it sounds like a nice place to
recommend. Take a look, and that's what we recommend. And we have a little bit of funding to put towards that.
That's specific to wellness.
Yeah. Specific to wellness, yeah.
That's great.
Okay,
thank
all right,
you.
Thank you.
That's that one, and then I
will move on to Employee Appreciation Summer Event presented by Chris Bowen, Human Resources.
Again, just wanted to check in with the group. We've been tentatively looking at putting together some kind of employee appreciation event this coming summer, 2022. In the past, that has been an event that's tied to the county fair. County fair has changed. Now we have an agricultural days with the USU Extension Center. So looking at doing something, I had a couple of questions. One is, Omicron's in a peak right now. We'll probably be back down by then, but who knows. Just checking in to make sure we're comfortable having an organized event. People
I'm comfortable.
Okay, and I think, you know, it's not mandatory, but it's optional. Do you have thoughts?
Summer employee event to gather, like we used to with the fair, but it won't be with the fair anymore. Yeah, seems like we'll probably be in a lot better place than we
are. We'll
have
the next variety, so
it's all right. Well, it's summer. It's always gone back down in the summer.
In the summer, right? Yeah, wait for maybe outside.
Let's work with these sororities.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to predict what's happening.
That's probably wise.
I think, you know, as long as we don't have another variant that changes it back the other direction, I don't see us not returning to some normalcy there.
Outdoors is also nice, right?
So we've thought about different venues. We've got to go check with those venues and find out what they could or couldn't do for us. And then I'm wondering, in my experience at the University of Utah with an event of that size, we had an organizing committee that involved people from across the institution. I'm wondering, just given the size of that kind of thing, if we can have, this is just a thought, have administrative officers identify a person from their department who could help us on an organizing committee for that size of gathering.
And that committee would give ideas and also communicate?
And communicate and help us execute.
Yeah,
if we have a table where we're doing bingo, or if we have an activities area, where we can do activities depending on the venue, that we have somebody there that can run that portion of it, somebody to schedule the food, somebody to, you know, oversee that. And maybe it will depend on what kind of venue we find, how much work a venue can do for us versus how much we need to do ourselves.
Okay. I'm definitely open to an organizing committee.
Okay. Yep.
And I'm hopeful that a venue with pricing that makes sense for us can do things like this quite easily, as we've seen other organizations have.
Provide food, provide activities, and so forth.
Yeah.
Importantly, a place to mingle.
Is it family, employees, and families, or just employees?
I think in the past it was family oriented.
Because it was the fair, right?
Mm-hmm. So employees could bring their spouse and children if they like.
Up to two.
Was it up to two?
Yeah, in the end.
Two favorite children.
You need to pick.
May well look at that.
Your two favorite children.
That is funny.
Jimmy Fallon last night had their bad signs, and one of the signs they put up said, "Your favorite children eat free at a restaurant."
Three children. Places I can donate to somebody.
You have what?
I have two openings, so I don't have any kids anymore.
You could donate those to another family.
Okay. Curtis, I can borrow your kids for a couple days. Okay.
Well, Curtis has got boys, and they're growing, so that might be a little bit of double that.
Yeah, that's great. I'm glad you're working on this, and this is probably the time to really start to nail it down.
Yeah, we need to get scheduled on that.
Yeah.
So I take it this is we'll close down services for the day. Is that your thought here?
I think it's been after hours.
Yeah.
Well, we've had golf tournaments and other things during associated with that same week, but
got rid of those.
Yeah,
this commission doesn't remember those or know those.
Yeah,
we never experienced.
Well, not a golf tournament, but
golf day.
Yeah. We had another one that was a surf and swim, and it was during that whole week of.
Oh, the fair.
Yeah,
the fair week.
The appreciation.
We've thought of things like using a venue or having a lagoon week where families could go at a discounted price. I haven't talked to Lagoon yet, for the record. Those are ideas we thought about, having a traveling thing that goes to different departments and has like food truck day at lunchtime or something. But on the other hand, it's nice to be able to get everybody into one place who wants to come and can mingle and develop, you know, bolster and develop relationships.
So, you know, and again, it might not be a bad idea if you picked a week and there were different activities that people could, you know, just like on the golfing with what Brian says. And I mean, I think that if your Friday night was the last event or whatever, which was a big catered dinner or whatever, and if we were to, you know, hypothetically close down at 3 o'clock or something like that, but from my perspective, I don't think that's a bad idea. I think that it's not just Davis County employees, it's hospital employees, medical employees. I mean, everybody, it's been a long 2 years.
Yes.
And, you know, we can't control anything other than what we can do right here. And maybe we do try to put together somewhat of an internal celebration of, you know what, Brian stands up and says the pandemic's gone.
That would be nice.
It's like putting Bush on the aircraft.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. We should have come up with this.
Come over.
No. So I know originally when you brought this up that you talked about a budget for this, because a lot of this discussion has to have a budget in mind, right?
We'll have to figure out what that is, what a venue might charge us, or what.
Well, that's what the committee's for, right?
That's what the committee helps out.
Yeah, and knowing, because we didn't put it in the 2022 budget.
We didn't. We have employee awards, non-departmental, for the monthly service awards, so we would have to I don't know if we want to take it from that wellness. Like I said, we did that premium holiday that reduced that balance by about $75,000.
Yeah, and it would be an employee-centered event.
It would be employee-centered,
So, there you go.
Going in the future when that fire dries up.
Yeah, need to see what it ends up really costing and the tradition and how do we want to keep this going, right?
Yeah. And then it is a shift.
And then budget it.
It is a shift because they sort of knew what to expect with the fair every year in the past,
right.
Of course, before I was here. But
To
develop something new and maybe it does become tradition. We know what to expect every year.
Okay,
we'll keep moving forward, and maybe I'll reach out to administrative officers and ask.
All right, any other points you can bring up?
Look at that, we are ahead of time.
Yep. It was great. All right, it is 9:34, this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.